And the kid said, "This is the greatest day of my life. This is the greatest day of my life. This is incredible." And, you know, I looked at the dad and we both just smiled.
Oh, that's nice. That is cool. That's what fishing is about, really, when you get right down
Absolutely.
To it.
Absolutely. And I think I've told you this before. That's my favorite trip is a dad and a kid. Or, you know, yesterday on Bemidji, I had grandpa, grandma, and two grandkids, an 8 and a 9-year-old. And we got out on, and I started running some crankbaits, and we immediately had perch on. Like, they're both reeling in perch, and those kids didn't care. You know, they were happy as heck. The girl was naming every perch we caught, and they could have cared less if it was a walleye, pike, or whatever. As long as there was something on the end of that line that they could reel in, they were happy. And Grandpa gave me lots of smiles, keeping them entertained and keeping the fish biting. So
nice. Have you found? And I've heard from a number of guides that they've got a lot of trips this year from people who would typically be going up into Canada. And they're not going that far, and it's really increased their business. Have you found that with North Country Guides this year?
I've talked, a handful of clients have gone up there, but they weren't hiring us because they couldn't go to Canada. I think they'd never fished this area, and just wanted to shorten their learning curve a little bit, and have, you know, they were less interested maybe in catching fish as much as they were what's working right now and some spots. So you just kind of run around, say, "Hey, this is what I'm catching fish on. Try here, 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 and here. Run this kind of depth." And then, you know, putz around, just show them on the graph, like, you know, here's some fish. This is what they're going to look like. You want to fish this kind of zone. So it's been some of that.
Okay.
But I think, by and large, I think I've taken a lot more anglers that are, I would say, novice or haven't fished much at all. And it's something to do outside.
Yeah,
they want to try fishing. They want to get out and reel some stuff in.
You know, that is what we heard. You know, in the spring, that we are having close to record number of license sales. A lot of it doing because stuff that typically is done in spring and summer wasn't available. People wanted to get outside and do stuff. And if they're having good experiences, we hope that means they're going to stick around and do it again next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the people I've taken, I sure have left the lake feeling really good that they had a good experience, and it's something that they might do again. Whether it's, you know, whether it's with me, whether it's another guide, or whether it's something they do on their own. And that's really what it's about. Is, you know, especially when you work with some of these companies, like I do with Clam and Tuned Up Custom Rods, you're trying to help that business grow. And obviously, the more people that are fishing, the more opportunity they have to sell more product. And that's fun to see. And the license sales, like you said, was way up. And I know fishing line companies must be happy, because I think it's a little better now. But, boy, was there a stretch where trying to find some 6 or 8-pound monofilament was pretty dang tough.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, a lot of empty slots in the stores.
That's...
Now, and I don't know... I think that's due to, one, an increase in people angling, and then, two, I would assume that most of that stuff was coming from overseas, and those shipments were not coming in or delayed.
That is so crazy how that domino effect of everything, you know?
Right.
So, have you noticed, in addition to the numbers we've talked about, have you actually noticed that there's more boats out there, that there's more crowds out there?
Maybe seen a little bit of an increase, but not, I wouldn't say it's been substantial. I mean, you know, with kind of the other guides in the area, you know, I know most of them and network a little bit. You know, you're talking to each other about this, that, and the other thing. I've talked to them about the same thing, and their phones don't stop ringing either.
Okay.
Everybody's staying busy, but I would say I haven't noticed a giant increase in traffic, I guess, but there's more and more of those dang wake surf boats making the giant. I know that's really increased in popularity over the last couple of years.
That's always the tension on the water, isn't it? People want to use the water for different things.
I used to be grumpy about jet skis. I don't mind them as much anymore because they seems like they've gotten quieter. But those wake surf boats, I'm sure it's fun. But boy, when those waves hit you from, you know, they're pretty good swells that they push up with those things.
Oh yeah. So when you're actually just out fishing for yourself, what do you like to fish for?
Kind of snuck out and did a little more musky fishing this summer than I typically have. So, but boy, that was back in July when I got to do that. That was almost a month ago. I am hoping to sneak out Thursday morning. I got a friend that's got the week off, and him and I are going to go cast for a bit and try to get lucky. I've seen all these musky pictures from these musky anglers, and this drives me bonkers. I'm like, God, I want to get out there. I want to get one of those big ones. I was able to get a small one on off of Lake Bemidji in July, but that just kind of made the itch worse.
Have you ever gone up and done the sturgeon thing on Lake of the Woods and Rainy River?
Oh, yeah. I do that every spring. I was only able to get up there twice this spring and just kind of missed the bite. We caught a few, but they were all smaller. Had my 10-year-old son up. I wanted him to reel in a big one, but well, hopefully next year. And I didn't get my wife up there. My wife's not super keen on fishing. She'll go every now and again, but that's one thing she loves is sturgeon fishing.
Really?
Yep. I think the biggest sturgeon I've caught is 55, 58 inches. I'm not even sure. And I know she's gotten 4 or 5 over 60 inches.
Oh, wow.
The boys always ask, Dad, what's the biggest fish you've ever caught? Because they'd never remember. Hmm. And I tell them it was a big sturgeon. And I said, actually, your mom's got a bigger fish than your dad has. And then they think that's pretty funny.
Nice. Fish and Paul Bunyan Country presented by Northland Fishing Tackle. Jason Rylander of North Country Guide Service, my guest, talking about catching big fish. The musky fishing, the sturgeon fishing, I mean, there is something, I don't know what to call it, instinctive about, you know, an angler wanting to catch that Moby Dick-like fish.
Well, you always want to catch the biggest fish, regardless of what species it is. There's something about those big ones that's intriguing. And I'll even, you know, if I'm fishing on my own, I'm not typically going out to catch a bunch of 17-inch walleyes to eat. I'll go to a lake where I got a chance at a big one and drop a big creek chub down, and, you know, I might fish 6 hours and only have a bite or two, but I know that when that thing gets bit, I got a chance that's that 26-inch walleye or bigger. That's kind of the number that gets me excited. Anything over 26 is a pretty dang good fish.
So without giving up any super secret spots where you know there are big fish, what typically should we be looking for, and what should we be presenting if we're trying to catch a big fish, that elusive 26-plus incher?
I spend a lot of time on that B&R Lake Finder, and I'm looking at the netting results. So, you know, I'm looking for numbers of big fish that they're catching in their nets. And then that's where I'll go and target those lakes. And then typically my presentation, I'm going to be looking your classic walleye structure, but typically a lot of times some deeper structure this time of year, deeper humps, where I can see those fish on my graph. They're not hiding in the weeds. There's some big marks down there. And then typically it's a big red tail or a big creek chub, and just work it slow and hover over those fish. And if they don't bite, you kind of hover over or mosey on over till you find another little batch of fish or two, and drop down again.
And if you really want to catch big fish, you got to be prepared to wear layers and go deep into the soft water season almost to ice out.
Oh yeah, and that's any species. Mm-hmm. End of October, early November, if you want your fish to weigh a lot of pounds, that's when they've got you know, about as fat as they're going to get besides spawn. I mean, that's when you're going to see your heaviest fish, whether that's a pike, a muskie, or a walleye. That's when they're going to have that weight on. And yep, put on your long undies and we'll try to catch a big one.
Is that just Jason fishing time, or do you still do trips that deep into the year?
I would. You don't get many calls typically after about hunting season starts. You know, mid September, it's quieted down quite a bit. And fall fishing can be real hit and miss. I mean, it seems like when I'm fishing into October, Kev, I might spend 3 hours driving around, and then 20 minutes catching my fish. They kind of, you know, especially walleyes, they school back up. They're a little deeper, but they might be in a, you know, a tiny little area all packed in one little spot for whatever reason. And sometimes it takes longer to find them than it does catch them.
Well, you know, you might be busier this fall because there's no Friday Night Lights. So we're looking for something to do on the weekends.
I know. I don't know what I'm going to do with my Mondays without fantasy football to research.
Yeah, I know.
Hopefully I get some more time on the boat. Hopefully we have a little nicer October than last year. I don't know if you remember October last year, but I think it didn't rain those 2 or 3 days in October.
Yeah, somebody told me fall was their favorite season, and I said, yeah, if you call 2 days a season, I mean.
No kidding. Yep, it's typical. My boat sits in the driveway, and then you get into October. I'm like, I'm going to sneak out, you know, end of October. I'm going to get out one or two more times. Then all of a sudden you look out there, and there's 6 inches of snow in the boat. You're like, ah, shoot. I suppose I better put it away for the year.
Yeah.
Straight on to get some venison.
Yeah, we get a couple days of fall, and then we get a lot of pre-winter.
Yeah, which ain't so bad either. I mean, the last couple of years we've got to get out on the ice nice and early, and that's, you know, that's usually the best bite for ice fishing, is as soon as you can get out there.
Well, we will be talking with you about that certainly as we get further into that season. But
let's not talk about that yet.
So get us ready for the weekend. Full thing. What if we're going out this weekend? A, what would be the best fish to be going for right now? What do we need to have in our boat? And where in the lake should we be hanging out?
Well, if I was going out this weekend and I just wanted to set some hooks and reel in some fish, I would go screw around on some of the smaller lakes with the bass and pike population, and spend some time on the weed lines, whether you're using a night crawler or a leech or grab some of those bigger minnows, work the shoreline or those weed edges, and you know, bass will eat that live bait. Pike, obviously, they eat almost everything, and then you know, you always got a chance at a walleye. And like I said, big turtle, Julia, you know, some of those, that kind of size of lake, you know, black duck even. And spend some time. There's always fish in the weeds. The weeds are thicker than heck this time of year, so it's tough to fish in the weeds. You always just got to work that edge. Those fish are always moving in and out of them, and you'll definitely get some action.
Okay. I think, you know, let's I'm going to do an analogy here. I think I'm a pretty darn good griller, right? I think I know what I'm doing. And yet, if I go with another griller and watch him in action, I can learn a lot. And I really think, even if you've been fishing our lakes for years, I think it's worth hiring a guide and going out with them and just seeing what they do. You know, even if you think you know everything, there's always something to learn.
Yeah, just this morning, I had a client. He's got a place on Lake Bemidji, and I take a fishing 2-3 times a summer. And today we did something that he's like, well, this is a little different than what we've done in the past. And I said, yeah. And I said, this is just another technique. And then he asked me, he goes, well, when I was with Bill, we did this. And I said, yep. And I said, that's something that Bill's really good at and something I need to jump in the boat with Bill and get better at. And that's, you know, bottom bouncers and spinners. I know how to do it, but I'm never really that confident in it. And Bill Lundy's, that's kind of his deal. And I'd love to jump in the boat with him and learn his techniques.
Well, Jason, if people are looking to use your services, whether they're from down the road or out of state, we're international now that we're podcasting. How do they get a hold of you and get something set up?
Well, they can find us online, northcountryguides.com, or feel free to give me a call, 218-766-7781.
All right, Jason Rhinelander from North Country Guide Service, one of the best in the area. We love having him on the show. Jason, thanks for finding a few minutes for us today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. You can sneak in after my search and rescue missions.
Yes, you wear a multitude of hats.
Today I did. Thanks a lot for the call, Kev. Always good to talk to you.
Watch the weather. Be safe. Get out there. Have fun. We'll talk to you next week.
Michelle! Born, yeah, country.